one into the night, deep into right, way out of here.
Swung on,
did it,
crushed, and the Phillies are going to lead it.
Harper, the swing of his life.
The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, struck him out.
From WHYY, it is hitting season. Hey there, podcast pals. I'm John Stolness from The Good Fight. You can follow me on X and Blue Sky at John Stolness. Coming out, history in San Diego as the Sanchez breaks the franchise's all-time scoreless inning streak, and he is marching towards Oral Hershiser. It's not as far away as it sounds, guys. But Christopher Sanchez, we're going to talk about his incredible performance against the Padres on Wednesday as the Phillies finish off a three-game sweep in San Diego against a team with one of the best records in the National League. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the other really outstanding pitching performances we saw in San Diego. But we are going to dive deeply into some of the Christopher Sanchez numbers. They are unbelievable. And hey, is Trey Turner starting to figure it out? Is he starting to get hot? They need him because the offense still is not figuring things out. And we'll talk about a little bit about the LA Dodgers series coming up. So lots to get to here on this edition, this solo edition of hitting season. But really quickly, guys, leave a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts if you get a chance, if you haven't done so in a while. Maybe you've done it before, but if you haven't done so in a while, would love to hear your thoughts on the show. And it does help the podcast grow on Apple Podcasts. Also, follow us on Spotify if you haven't done that yet as well. Even if you listen someplace else, go to Spotify and follow us. That also would help us out quite a bit. And the roundtable editions of the podcast can always be found on the WHYY YouTube page. So subscribe to the WHYY YouTube channel and you can get all of the roundtable editions of the podcast as well. All right, let's jump into this Padres series. Before we get into Christopher Sanchez specifically, the Phillies sweep the Padres. They'd been struggling rolling into San Diego for this important 6-game West Coast road trip to San Diego and to Los Angeles to take on the Dodgers. That's up next this weekend. But I'll tell you, man, we talked about this as a litmus test for the Phillies, and I can't figure this team out. If you can figure this team out, you're better than me. I can't figure out what these Phillies are. I mean, the simple fact is the Phillies are pitching absolutely lights out right now. Most of the time, it's enough to win these close games. The Phillies are winning a ton of close games so far here in the early going. Right now, they are 11-5 in one-run games, 9-10 in blowout games. The 11-5 record in one-run games, yeah, that speaks to the fact that they have a good pitching staff. And it speaks to the fact that they're not scoring a lot of runs right now, but they do have really good starting pitching. And generally speaking, you look at a record like that in one-run games, and you do understand and recognize that it's unlikely a team is going to have that kind of a winning percentage, a 688 winning percentage in one-run games for the entire season. Some of these bounces, some of these fly balls that hit the warning track, some of these times when the pitchers execute the perfect pitch at just the right time, that's not going to last forever. Right? I mean, you had a situation in the game on Wednesday. Christopher Sanchez gives you 7 shutout innings, but a number of your top relievers were unavailable in that game because they'd been used the previous days. You did not have Joan Duran. You did not have Brad Keller in this game. You know, there were basically top relief pitchers. Orion Kerkering was not available in this game. So the Phillies went with Jonathan Boland and Jose Alvarado to close things out. And those guys each pitched a beautiful scoreless inning of baseball. Alvarado had 2 strikeouts in getting his first save of the season. Boland set the Padres down 1-2-3, which has not been the usual for him. A 4.67 ERA for him on the season. Alvarado's 5.79. I mean, you're going to have games where those guys give up a run or two and you lose an extra innings. Like you're going to lose some of these games. In fact, the Phillies are 4-3 in extra innings. So it's not exactly like they've won all the extra inning games. So that gives you a little bit of a pause because with this record in one-run games, you realize it's probably not sustainable. But for right now, the starting pitching is absolutely carrying this team. And we knew that it was going to be the strength coming into the season. So that's why winning all the one-run games for this team may not be as worrisome as it would be for, say, like a team like the Cardinals or, you know, a team like, an offense. There's not a lot of really hot offensive teams. Let's say the White Sox jump out to this kind of a one-run record. You know, and they're still around 500. That's not something that you would say is sustainable for a team like that. But for a team like the Phillies, who have invested all this money, have maybe the best 1-2 combination in Christopher Sanchez and Zach Wheeler in baseball, it's enough for them to win most of the time. It's enough for them to win these close games. And they have won enough. The Phillies have won enough so that coming into this series against the Dodgers on Friday, they're two games over 500, 29 and 27. They're eight games behind the Braves, but they are right in the middle of a pack, a huge number of teams that are within 1.5 games of the wild card. You've got the Cardinals and the Cubs are tied for the final wild card spot, but the Reds are half a game out. The Phillies and Pirates are one game out. The Nationals are 1.5 games out. Like, you've got all these teams still in the mix. Really, only the Marlins, and even the Marlins are still kind of in the conversation. They're 4.5 out, but you got the Marlins, the Mets, the Giants, and the Rockies are the only teams in the National League right now that don't look like they have any chance of contending for a wild card spot this season. And some of these other teams, but that's what I mean. Like, some of these other teams will drop back. Do I believe the Nationals are going to stay around 500 the whole season? No, I don't probably think that. The Pirates, maybe. The Reds, maybe. You know, the Cardinals, can they continue to play at the level they have been? I don't know. And the Padres have dropped four in a row. They held the second wild card spot, but they didn't look terribly impressive during the course of this week. So it's kind of a wide open National League wild card picture. And that's how it is every year. The Phillies are good enough to hang with that group. The starting pitching will be enough, and most nights the bullpen will be good enough for them to hang around and win as much as the rest of that group is winning. There's a lot of kind of mediocrity in the middle of the National League right now, but there's a clear tier of top teams, right? I think you would have put the Cubs in one of that top tier a little while ago, but you know, they just lost 10 in a row. Same as the Phillies did earlier in the season, and they dropped to four games over 500. So now, I mean, you've got the class of the National League right now is it's the Braves, the Dodgers, and the Brewers. They all have winning percentages well over 620. And then everybody else is just, it's kind of like a feeding frenzy at the in the wild card race. So right now, the Phillies, yes, their record in one-run games and the way that they're pitching allows them to continue to be talked about as a playoff contender. But what we also saw in this series is the offense isn't good enough to truly put them on the same level as the Braves, Dodgers, Brewers, at least not right now. And this offense is the same as it's always been. We're not seeing anything different from this offense. They'll get hot later in the season and they'll make you think that they're a World Series contending offense again. But I think we all know that it's a little bit of a mirage as far as the bats go. You know, this weekend in San Diego, they didn't face a ton of great pitching in San Diego this weekend. But the offense just didn't do a whole lot aside from some home runs here and there. And that said, the Padres may be an even bigger paper tiger than the Phillies. Now, the Phillies have always played the Padres well over the last few years. Since the 2022 National League Championship Series, since the time those dudes out in San Diego started singing the That's What's In song, the Phillies have a 20-6 record against the Padres. They always seem to play this team pretty well. And the Good Fight's Jeff Kerr noted that the Phillies have been playing pretty well against good teams of late. They've played 12 straight games against teams 500 or better, and they're 8-4 in those 12 games. And now they move on to LA to take on the Dodgers. And we'll do a quick preview of that series coming up at the end of the podcast. But we said this would be a litmus test for this team this week. And so far, they passed the first part of this litmus test really, really well. I predicted they would lose each of these series. And so, you know, while I don't think the offense has played very well, I was wrong about how they would play in San Diego against the Padres. The pitching threw two shutouts and gave up three runs in the other game. So it's really hard to lose a series when in two of those games, your pitchers just decide, no, you're not scoring at all in this game. And that's what the Phillies did in the bookend games. And then in the middle game, got a good start from Aaron Nola, which we can talk about in just a minute, too. But we would be remiss if, now as we sit 8 minutes into this podcast, if we didn't jump in with both feet into the Christopher Sanchez, the Sanchez portion of the podcast, the star of the series, Sanchez did it again and has almost certainly locked in National League Pitcher of the Month award honors for May. Sanchez has made 5 starts in the month of May, 39 innings, 25 hits, no runs allowed. All month long, he walked 3 batters and struck out 45. A 45 strikeout to 3 walk ratio is bonkers, guys. It's absolutely, and to do it all with giving up no runs It's bonkers. A 181 opponent's batting average against him in the month of May. On Wednesday, he went 7 innings, 6 hits allowed, no runs, no walks, 9 strikeouts. Christopher Sanchez's ERA stands at 1.47 for the season. And Phillies fans were locked into this game on Wednesday because they wanted to see him break the all-time Phillies record for consecutive scoreless innings. And he did that. After completing a spotless fourth inning, he surpassed Grover Cleveland Alexander. Sanchez now holds the franchise record, 44 and two-thirds straight scoreless innings, a record that was set in 1911 by Grover Cleveland Alexander. That's 115 years of human history passed between Grover Cleveland Alexander setting the record in his rookie season of 1911 to Christopher Sanchez setting the mark now with the 2026 Philadelphia Phillies at 44 and two-thirds innings. I mean, do you understand what you're watching? We've seen 4 different Phillies pitchers win 7 Cy Young Awards, and there have been some amazing pitchers come through the city that came close to winning Cy Youngs. Lots of runners-up. Lots of guys with individually great seasons that kind of came out of nowhere. But you've got the greatest left-hander in franchise history and one of the 3 best left-handed starters in Major League Baseball history, Steve Carlton. He never did this. Roy Halladay, who generally I think we all believe had maybe the 2 greatest back-to-back pitching seasons in Phillies history, he never did it. Cliff Lee never did this. As hot as he got a couple of times, Cliff Lee never did this. Cole Hamels never did this. Curt Schilling, Robin Roberts, Jim Bunning, Chris Short, Grover Cleveland Alexander, Zach Wheeler, no one's ever done this. No one's ever gone this long without giving up a run before. I mean, Carlton, the fact that Steve Carlton, you know, Christopher Sanchez is on a list higher than Steve Carlton with this is truly incredible. No one has ever put together a longer scoreless inning streak in franchise history than Christopher Sanchez. Now, on Pattison put some numbers together comparing this month of May to Cliff Lee's June of 2011. And the numbers are pretty close. I mean, it's a horse race, but I think you have to give the nod to Sanchez in terms of the greatest month any Philly pitcher has ever had. 42 innings for Cliff Lee, 39 innings for Sanchez. 21 hits for Lee, 25 hits for Sanchez. Cliff Lee did give up an earned run in June of 2011. That's a blemish I don't know that he can overcome. No earned runs for Sanchez. 8 walks for Lee, 3 walks for Sanchez. 29 strikeouts for Lee, 45 strikeouts for Sanchez. 585 pitches for Lee, 504 pitches for Sanchez. Lee threw 3 complete game shutouts. Sanchez threw 1. Lee had a 0.21 ERA. Sanchez, of course, had a 0.00 ERA. And now we are talking about pitcher of the month. Should Christopher Sanchez win pitcher of the month? It seems like a no-brainer. He's the only pitcher in the National League to make 5 starts and not give up any runs. 0 runs allowed in 39 innings pitched this month, but he's got some competition. Jacob Mizorowski, a 0.29 ERA in the month of May, with 49 strikeouts and 31 and a third innings. And he does have another start coming at the end of this month. So we'll see what he does with that. Shohei Ohtani had another great outing for the Dodgers last night. He came into the game on Wednesday night with a 0.95 ERA in the month of May. Kyle Harrison has gone 4-0 with a 0.96 ERA in May. Chase Burns, who the Phillies saw last week, 4-0 with a 1.19 ERA. And of course, the Phillies' very own Zach Wheeler went 4-0 with a 1.38 ERA this month, and he will get another start as well against the Dodgers on Friday night in Los Angeles. But I don't see how anyone can overtake Christopher Sanchez, given the fact that he has this scoreless inning streak running right now. Let me give you some other numbers, because some of these stats are just absolutely incredible. Sanchez joins Oral Hershiser, who of course had that incredible run in September of 1988, as the only 2 pitchers to go an entire calendar month without allowing a run since 1913, with a minimum of 30 innings pitched. Sanchez is the only pitcher in the modern era of baseball history with 40 or more strikeouts and no runs allowed in a calendar month. He has the most strikeouts of any pitcher during a five-start span in which he allowed no runs with 47. The next closest came in 2007 with Brandon Webb and in 1968 with Bob Gibson and Don Drysdale with 38. And he's only one of three pitchers in baseball history to have a month in which he pitched at least 39 innings without giving up a run, joining Oral Hershiser and Dwight Gooden. He now has the 11th longest scoreless inning streak in Major League Baseball history, and it's the 7th longest since 1920. Oral Hershiser's at the top with 59, Drysdale has 58, Walter Johnson 55 and two-thirds, Jack Coombs 53, Bob Gibson 47, Zach Greinke, I forgot that he went 45 and two-thirds innings, Carl Hubble, 45 and a third, Cy Young, 45, Doc White, 45, Sal Magley at 45, and now Christopher Sanchez at 44 and two-thirds innings. But Jason Stark noted this, and I think this is an even better statistic. Right now, Christopher Sanchez has the third longest scoreless inning streak by a left-handed pitcher since 1900. At 44 and two-thirds innings, he is a third of an inning behind surpassing Doc White's 45 scoreless innings in 1904. And he is just one inning away from surpassing Carl Hubble's 45 and a third set in 1933. And now with five straight outings in which he threw seven innings or more scoreless innings, he is tied for second among on that list behind only Hershiser and Drysdale, who had six straight scoreless outings of seven or more innings since 1900. Like, this is the air that Christopher Sanchez is breathing right now. He's etched his name among some of baseball's all-time greats. He's already etched himself as in Phillies history with this scoreless inning streak. And again, I read to you some of the names of some of the great pitchers that have come through this town. And as much as the Phillies have focused on pitching over these last few years, Christopher Sanchez might be the greatest success story this team has ever had as a starting pitcher. He is one of one. That phrase is starting to annoy me now, but he truly is one of one in the way he has developed into this superstar. When they traded Curtis Meade to the Tampa Bay Rays for Christopher Sanchez, they could not have anticipated they were getting this. He was a quad A starter. He was a guy who pitched really well in AAA, but you know, you weren't sure if his future was in the bullpen, whether it was as a starter. If it was as a starter, would he be just kind of a swing man? Would he be a back of the rotation guy? He threw hard, but he didn't know where the ball was going most of the time. He really couldn't command the baseball all that often. Walked a ton of guys in the early part of his career. He was just not somebody you ever saw as being able to do anything like this. I mean, just take a look at some of his minor league numbers. In 2023 at Lehigh Valley, he pitched in 10 games, made 8 starts, and had a 4.35 ERA. He had 29 strikeouts. He had 44 strikeouts and 29 walks, a WHIP of 1.45. Right, this was not somebody that you thought was going to be a star. You know, in 2022, he was better. 15 games, 14 starts, a 3.77 ERA. The year before that, a 4.68 ERA. In 2021 for Lehigh Valley, 19 games, 17 starts. And when he came up to the Phillies a couple different times for just a couple of cups of coffee, it was not anything special. In 2021, 7 games, 6 of them out of the bullpen, a 4.97 ERA. In 2022, he pitched in 15 games for the Phillies, made 3 starts, and had a 5.63 ERA, right? And then the following year in Lehigh Valley, he's rolling with a 4.35 ERA when the Phillies finally call him up to make some starts. And, you know, he pitches in the big leagues pretty well. 19 games, 18 starts, a 3.44 ERA in 2023. That was pretty great. And then in 2024, he really starts to assert himself, a 3.32 ERA in 31 starts, 181 innings. He turns into a true middle of the rotation workhorse, a guy you want starting in a playoff game for you. And then, of course, 2025, he kicks it up a notch, finishes second in the Cy Young balloting, and now this year is unbelievably performing even better. Hard to believe that at what he's been able to do and how he's been able to turn this around. I mean, there's not a whole lot else you can say about the guy. We've never seen a pitcher go from being never a top prospect, never a top 10 prospect in the organization, never a top 100 prospect in baseball, never was a guy you would have penciled in as even maybe a mid-rotation starter, let alone what he's doing right now. It just wasn't, it was not anywhere near anyone's minds. We've never seen a pitcher rise from that level to perform the way he is right now. So congratulations to Christopher Sanchez and the Phillies coaching staff, but specifically to Sanchez for all of the work that he's put in, everything that he's done. And the streak is not over. 44 and two-thirds innings, it continues to roll on. My guess is he will move further up this list. And a lot of these guys are bunched in real close right now. I mean, if he pitches another, let's see, another inning. If he gets to 45 and two-thirds innings, he jumps all the way up to tie Zach Greinke. An inning and a third of scoreless baseball. And then all of a sudden, he's one, two, three, four. He's sixth place all-time in scoreless inning streaks. So, you know, we're talking about some serious history here for this guy. And, you know, if he has another start like he just did, all of a sudden now he's third behind Drysdale. Like if he's at 44 and two-thirds, let's say he pitches another six innings, he's at 50 and two-thirds. That gets him in fifth place all time. I mean, we're truly remarkable stuff from Christopher Sanchez, and we are witnessing history here as Phillies fans. All right, let's get to some other stuff that does not have anything to do with Christopher Sanchez. We'll keep it in the rotation for just a couple of minutes. Aaron Nola, nice start for him on Tuesday. That guy needed that. And really, that's the formula that you need from Aaron Nola in that start. Was really effective on the corners. Six innings, three hits, two runs, no walks, five strikeouts. He pitched a really easy six innings. Mattingly got him out after 80 pitches. He didn't push him past 80 pitches, which I think is pretty smart. No Padre reached scoring position until the sixth inning in the game on Tuesday. He didn't walk anyone for the second straight game, which is really good to see, very encouraging. He needs to do that. But the key is, and Todd Zielecki noted this, Zielecki relied on his four-seam fastball far less in this last start. He threw his fastball only 17.5% of the time in this game. 14 four-seam fastballs out of his 80 pitches in this game. And the reason is hitters are hitting 417 off his fastball with a 958 slugging percentage. It was the fewest four-seamers he's thrown in a game since April of 2025. And this is what Don Mattingly was talking about when he said he's going to need to figure out a different way to pitch. Aaron Nola may just have to shelve the fastball for a while because no one's getting fooled by it. It's not a pitch that major league hitters are going to have trouble with anymore. And so, yes, I think this is probably the formula for Aaron Nola moving forward, relying more on his breaking stuff, his cutters, his two seamers, his curveball, all his everything else that the rest of his arsenal. He's going to have to rely on that stuff more and less on his fastball. And that's what he did on Tuesday to very good results. So I think we're going to continue to see that moving forward. And in the game on Monday, how about Jesus Luzardo? Got in a bases loaded, no out jam in the first, but the Padres struggles with runners in scoring position have reached epic proportions. And it was on full display in the very first inning of this series. Luzardo looked like he was about to get blasted, but he ends up getting out of the inning unscathed and then goes six shutout innings, giving up just four hits and two walks with six strikeouts. He lowered his ERA to 4.38 on the season. This guy's all over the place. What's going on with him? Luzardo is something. I mean, you look in the Fangraphs wins above replacement rankings, he's like 11th. I mean, he's by the peripherals having a terrific season, but he's just given up some hits and runs, and he's had some outings where he has not looked good. All over the place for Jesus Luzardo, but when he's on, he is one of the nastiest pitchers in Major League Baseball, and really it's been a home road split issue for him. Check these numbers out. Really bizarre. On the road, he's made five starts and is 3-0 with a 1.21 ERA. But at home, he's 1-4 with a 7.31 ERA. That is the biggest split among all major league pitchers in home and away ERAs in all of baseball. No one has had a bigger split, and it's reversed for Jesus Luzardo. Very, very, very strange. But two good outings from Aaron Nola and Jesus Luzardo to start off the series and to stifle the Padres and help the Phillies sweep. All right, offensively, Trey Turner is starting to get hot, it looks like. After being moved down from the leadoff spot to the number two hole, Don Mattingly was fiddling with the lineup again. Turner seemed to swing the bat better against the Padres. On Tuesday, hit a long home run and singled in the game. He did have an error that led to Manny Machado's two-run home run. But then in the game on Wednesday, he smashed a blast in the ninth inning of the Phillies' 3-0 win. And his two home runs in this series were both bombs. They were not wall scrapers. There was no doubt about either one of those. The overall numbers for Turner are still not great. 225 batting average. This is after winning the batting title last year as the only National League player over 300, hitting 225 through 54 games with a 626 OPS. It has been a brutal start to the season for Trey Turner. He told Matt Gelb of The Athletic that the issue was that he hasn't been finishing his swing this year. And I will speak as a Little League baseball coach of 11-year-olds for one season. I can confirm that that's important to finish your follow through. So I just want to, you know, in case Trey and the Phillies needed a little bit of independent verification on that, I'm here for you. I think he's hitting the nail on the head. And he noted that in the game, that in these last two games, that he was finishing his swing. And we see the results when that happened. As Gelb notes in an article that he wrote on Wednesday after the game, Turner's lack of production in the leadoff spot has really hurt the team. The Phillies entered Tuesday with a 267 on base percentage from the leadoff spot. It would be the lowest mark in, it would be their lowest mark. It would be the Phillies' lowest mark since at least 1898 in that regard. And since the league expanded in 1969, Gelb notes that only three teams have had lower on-base percentages from atop the lineup. The 1969 Padres at 237, woo. The 1981 Blue Jays at 238, yikes. And the 2012 Cincinnati Reds at 254. And one of the things I like is that Mattingly has shown a willingness to kind of shake things up a little bit. I don't like Kyle Schwarber in the leadoff spot, but for right now, it's working. Having Schwarber in the number one spot in the batting order, and then having Trey Turner in the number two spot, you do double up the lefties with Schwarber up top, with Justin Crawford hitting in the number nine spot. Now, maybe you can switch things around, but Crawford's been really struggling as of late, and his numbers have dropped precipitously. But for right now, this is what Don Mattingly decided to do, and I think we're seeing in Mattingly a little difference from Rob Thompson. He's willing to shake things up a little bit more quickly. He will move some guys around in the batting order more quickly, more willingly. I think he's expecting the players to be okay with that, maybe more than Rob Thompson was. And he's also willing to sit guys who are struggling. He sat Adolis Garcia on Tuesday, just like he did with Alec Boehm, and gave him that two-day reset. And Boehm has been a much better hitter since that reset. Now, Garcia just sat for one game. He was back in the lineup on Wednesday, went 0-for-3. So the batting average is down to 201, and the OPS is now 599 for Adolis Garcia. But there's not a whole lot the Phillies can do. I saw the Texas Rangers released Andrew McCutchen. Andrew McCutchen's numbers have been worse than Adolis Garcia's, including against left-handers. So while it would be nostalgic, and if the Phillies did it, I wouldn't hate it necessarily, but I don't think it's really an answer to the Phillies' problems right now with right-handed hitters and the production that they're getting from right field. I know Gabriel Rincones just came back, and he's hitting well in AAA, but he's only had a couple of games under his belt. He needs to get a few more weeks in, but he's a left-handed hitter, so that doesn't really... Rincones really struggles against left-handed pitching. So if you're looking for a solution to your struggles against left-handers, Rincones in right field isn't necessarily where you would go with that. But Don Mattingly has shown more of a willingness to shake things up, sit guys, move guys around in the batting order than I think Rob Thompson did, and I think that is to his credit. All right, what's up next for the Phillies? Three games against the Dodgers are on deck, and the Phillies have played really well in Los Angeles over the last few years. They've played the Dodgers really well. It will be fascinating to see what they're able to do with Shohei Ohtani. Are they able to continue to shut him down? Now, Christopher Sanchez will not pitch in the series, obviously, against the Dodgers. He's had great success against Ohtani, but it's likely Jesus Luzardo will pitch in the series against... I don't know that for a fact. Oh, yeah, he did. He pitched on Monday. So by the time Saturday or Sunday rolls around, it'll be his turn in the rotation. So they will get Jesus Luzardo. Andrew Painter will almost certainly get one of those games. And Zach Wheeler will start the series on Friday. But they have done a tremendous job of shutting down Shohei Ohtani over the years since he's come to the Dodgers. And we'll see if they're able to keep that up against a team that continues to play really good baseball. Los Angeles Dodgers are, as advertised, again, a litmus test series for the Phillies out in LA, but they play the Dodgers well out there. So coming off of this series against the Padres, now suddenly I'm starting to feel a little bit bullish about their chances of winning this series against the Dodgers. But Justin and Liz will have a full preview of the Dodgers series, and they'll also share their thoughts about Christopher Sanchez and what he did on the Friday edition of the podcast. In the meantime, until you hear from them with a more in-depth look at the LA Dodgers series, that'll do it for this edition of Hittin' Season. I want to encourage again you guys to please leave a 5-star rating and a review at Apple Podcasts for the show. You can also follow us on Spotify. Tell your friends and family members about Hittin' Season. If you got a Phillies fan in your life and they enjoy podcasts and they don't know about us, please help them out. Help them find us. Because we can't do it. We don't know who they are. We don't have their numbers and we don't have their email addresses. And it would be wrong of us to try and cold call them to do it. So please help us out on that front. And if you do have something you would like to share with the rest of the class, you can email us, hittinseason@billypen.com. You get a really good email. You want to record a voice memo on your phone and email it to us. We will play it on the show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time right here on Hittin' Season.